Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. I'm going to minister a word in a few moments here on recognizing Jesus. Because sometimes Jesus comes, we don't recognize him. We need a fresh revelation of Jesus. I just feel the presence of God. It's hard. I'm about to break down up here. You know, there's times I struggle. I'm going to tell you one of my struggles. Because I preach or minister most Sundays, I tend to take July off. But predominantly, you know, I'm the pastor, so on Sunday morning I generally minister. And sometimes I have to really watch separating the work of ministering from the devotion before God. And I have to watch, like, looking and picking up the Bible, the, you know, whatever, the computer, whatever, and approaching it like work and not devotion. Because sometimes, you know, I'm honest, sometimes it feels like work. It feels like work. Because we don't recycle messages. I don't get messages from AI. Even though AI give you a message. You say, give me a message on Jesus and this, and it'll spell out a whole thing. I didn't know that. But you got to hear what God is saying to the church, to the body, to this local body. And so I have to really guard it, because at times it feels like labor. And you minister and you live your Christian life out of a life of devotion. You show up. Your public battles are a manifestation of your private devotion. And when people don't have control of their flesh, their emotions, it's because they're not winning the battle in private. Amen. You look like your closet, your war room. And if you don't have one, you look like that. And so I work, and I sometimes struggle with that. And I don't want to pick up a Bible because I don't feel like working, see, because I've equated it. So I have to find something, and every one of us, we have to find something that brings us back to the center. Back to the center. For some, it's reading the word. For some, it's in prayer. For me, it's worship. Worship brings me back. When I feel the labor of ministry, it's worship, man, that brings me back. I go old school and new school. There's a song I put on Israel, and he sings a song, "Only You Take My Breath Away." Only you take my breath away. And then you breathe new life into me. Man. So breathe into me. So breathe into me. So breathe into me once again. I listen to that. The struggle breaks. The labor breaks. I said, okay, God, you're reminding me of your love, because above everything. What's more important to me than pastoring, apostling, whatever, you know, what more important to me than all of that is that I'm a son of God. That's the greatest revelation, my position in Jesus Christ. So I put that song on, man. It brings me back to a son. There's one other song. There's a Psalmist Rain. It says, here is my heart. I build an altar here. Lifted arms right on this altar here. Bending knees so you sit high above. A broken heart that you can fill with love. So here's this heart. I build an altar here. It just goes on. Come move me. Breathe life into me here on this altar. Here on this altar. I yield my heart here on this altar. I lift my hands here on this altar. Man, you want to see a grown man cry here on this altar. That's what it's about. Because really, we are the sacrifice. Even when you don't feel like sacrificing, you are the sacrifice. Say, I'm the sacrifice. Romans 12:1 said, but I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. We're the sacrifice and we render sacrifices of praise and worship to the King. So you want to know how Pastor resets? That's how I reset. Phone has to go off. Distractions have to be cut off. When you feel yourself being drained, when you feel yourself being pulled on, when you feel that you've reached your limits, amen, and you're about to go off in the flesh, you better find that thing, that prayer, that scripture, that worship, that song that gets you right back to the middle. Because as good as we look and as strong as we pretend to be, amen. Sometimes we're broken hearts. And it's the grace of God holding us up. We don't want to be betrayed. We don't like to be lied on. So we have to go back and find our place in the middle, centered in Jesus. I encourage you today. I encourage you this morning. This ain't even the message. To find that thing that puts you back in the center. It reminds you of why you're doing this. Why you're doing this. Why are you here? Why are you serving God? Well, I was just raised to serve God. My mama brought me to church. My daddy was in church. I had to go to church, so I'm just here in church. I'm just used to coming to church. I don't know what to do with my time. When Pastor Gail and I moved to Chicago, we joined Crusaders, Apostle John Eckhart's church. And we were there 4 years. But the first year we were there, amen, we had been doing ministry. I've been doing ministry since I was a teenager. Pastor Gail been singing there since she was a little girl. We moved to Chicago. You know what we did? We didn't go to church. Amen. We needed a break. We needed a reset. Amen. I'm not saying y'all stay home. Amen. After you've served 30, 40 years, you stay home then, you know. And we reconnected in our relationship. Now, some of y'all ain't going to like this, but we went to Summer Jam? Was it? Where we danced. Now, I was raised in a church. We've been married almost 40 years. I had never danced with my wife because I thought it was a sin. We got out this car. What? I did what I could do. I can't dance like Minister Curry. I just did what I could. Did the best I could. At least it didn't look like a shout, you know. We ain't sin, but we reconnected. It felt so good being out there sweating and dancing. And I'm ready to take some classes, you know, because I don't like doing, if I'm going to do something, I want to do it well. You have to stay connected. Somebody say, stay connected. Put our declaration. We're going to read this declaration. We're going to segue this right into the message. Keep playing. We're going to flow. I got. Let's read this. Father, I thank you for the word as I receive, meditate, and obey your word. What? I become the word. Then I can do what the word says I can do. I can have what your word says I can have. And the power of your word impacts my family for 1,000 generations. One short verse, Matthew 16 and 15, but this is Jesus speaking to his disciples after he's got everybody else's opinion. He says, but you, who do you say that I am? But you, who do you say that I am? I know what other people are thinking, I got their opinions. We've done the polls, we've done the research. We got the Instagram polls, but you, individually, you, who do you say that I am? Recognizing Jesus. It's sad that in the church, I'm going to be honest, is that it's sometimes hard in the church to recognize Jesus. Because we have formed images of personalities and people and brands, and the brand is bigger than Jesus. You go into a service, it's so orchestrated and man-made. Thank God for the worship today and the flow today and the team being sensitive to the Spirit of God today to just scrap the program and flow with the Spirit. Because Holy Spirit is in charge of the service, not us. And if you're so stuck in what you put together that you won't shift and move, we are quick to create images of who we think Jesus is. I give you, a sign of it is because Sunday morning is the most segregated time of the week. Churches don't collaborate with one another because they're scared they might lose a member. My people, my sheep, people don't belong to you. This ain't no plantation. It's a church. It's a house of prayer. Pastor almost got to be carried down the middle aisle. Can't touch the flow. Amen. We've deified. And God knew this would be a vulnerability. That's why in the first few commandments, God addresses, amen, don't create an image. Don't create an idol. Don't worship someone else other than me. Have a clear image of who I am. Don't create something. A God, and make a God. And sometimes you don't recognize church. And then you got the rappers. Amen. Talking about, thank God he's Jesus. I give all praise to Jesus, who's my Lord. He ain't your Lord. If you say that, next thing you calling women bees and hoes, then he ain't your Lord. You don't have a revelation of Jesus. You got a head knowledge and it sounds good. Maybe it's something good that they say for their brand. But a revelation of Jesus brings conversion. Because he's holy. And you cannot know Jesus without being converted. The world needs to see. And you know, the statistics that say church attendance has fallen off. Church attendance has fallen off where there's no glory. Church attendance has fallen off where people don't see Jesus. Because back in the day, amen, we grew up Kojic. I grew up Kojic, amen, and you couldn't play sports, amen. You couldn't go to the, they called it picture show, the, you couldn't go to the movies. The women couldn't wear makeup, amen. That's not wrong with a woman. Sometimes women need to, you know, enhance yourself. I'm saying, amen. He be praying for a man. Look at all dry and ashy, amen. You couldn't wear makeup. You couldn't wear pants. Your toes couldn't be out. But you know what? Back then, we suffered through it. And we put up with all that foolishness. For the name in the name of religion. Let me get in trouble. When I picked up Pastor Gail, I was driving the church van. Pastor sent me to pick up this college student. I didn't know her, him and his daughter. And Pastor Dory, we went and picked up Pastor Gail. Pastor Gail was a college student. She grew up in the church, but she was a college student. Pastor Gail used to wear this black dress to church. That was before she was pastor. She was Gail. Let me tell you something. She'd have that ashiness on her. I was a young minister. Let me tell you, it was like a light was on her. Because she ain't coming in with all that religious garb. It wasn't all revealing people, but it was how a young woman dresses that ain't refined and bound by religion. Well, she wore that black dress in that church, man. I was like, help me, Jesus. I say, help me, Jesus. I love that black dress. We should have prayed that black dress. That black dress was hot, man. That was hot. I was saved. I was speaking in tongues, but I saw that black dress. I'm going to get in trouble for that. That's because the church had us so bound. But this is what happened. We got a hold to liberty, and we got what we call a revelation of freedom. And now we done loosed ourselves from what we should have kept. There are some traditions and holiness that we should have kept. Righteous living. Integrity. Faithfulness. Submission. That we should have kept. But when we found ourselves free, we threw everything out. We need to come back to a revelation of Jesus. The revelation of Jesus. Change your life. Change your life. You ever have something to change your life or truth? I remember when I came, photography was my hobby before it became my profession. I got into photography through state police. Long story, I won't go into that now. I started doing photography on the side. A team asked me to take their pictures. I feel sorry for that team. Because I didn't know how to do it. So I stood up the back row, and then in team picture, and then I stood up the front row, right in front of the back row. It was sunny outside. The pictures came back. You couldn't see people in the back. Why? Because the people in the front standing right in front of them. The grass was green that day, but it was yellow when I got the pictures back because it was so overexposed. Didn't have a clue. I like taking pictures. They asked me. I gave it a shot. I kept some of them pictures, just terrible pictures. There was a seminar in Ohio on taking team pictures. I said, Gail, let's go to this seminar. We sat in this seminar, and I'm making a point here. We sat in that seminar, and they taught us how to put a team together, how to arrange them by height, and how to set them in rows. That one encounter, that one seminar, taught me how to put a team picture together and take a photo of it. I am over 20 years later, I am no better than I was that one day once I learned that. When I learned that, the next team I did was a high school football team of about 50 players. That team picture was immaculate. Had them on risers, had them by height, had them in the gaps. I am no better today than I was 20 years ago when I received that revelation of how to take a team picture. It changed my life. Revelation of Jesus should have that weight, that impact on your life. And if you don't know or you need, I'm going to give you 5 must-haves of revelation coming from Matthew 16. 5 must-haves. If you're going to walk this out and you want the real deal, and you just don't want Jesus in order to go to heaven, but you want Jesus for Jesus, then you got to tap into these 5 areas. Let's go with the first one. Holy Spirit must reveal Christ to you. Must reveal Christ to you. It can't, somebody can't give you, they can preach the gospel to you, but they can't give you that personal revelation of Jesus. Jesus said, I'm leaving, but the Holy Spirit's come, and the Holy Spirit's going to reveal me. He's going to show me to you. He's going to uncover me. Because when Holy Spirit does it, amen, it becomes impactful. It impacts our life. It changes our life. So you know what we have to do? If we're a worshiper of God, and the worship team, amen, amen. Every worship team member, they should pray this. The Holy Spirit, show me Jesus, how to worship Jesus. Because if you don't have a revelation of worship, you can't worship. You'd be like me taking that picture. Front row stand, back row stand. But if you ask Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit's desire is to show you Jesus. Show me Jesus. Show me the Lamb who is worthy of praise and glory and honor. Show me Jesus. Show me the love of Jesus. Sometimes we need a revelation of love. We need to know the width, the depth, the height. We need to know the love of God that surpasseth all understanding. We need a revelation of his love. We need Holy Spirit to show us, to uncover to us, to impact us, to unveil. Show us the love of Jesus. Show me Christ the King. Show me Jesus the Apostle. Jesus the Prophet. It's amazing how you have people walk around calling themselves apostles and prophets, but never point to Jesus. He is the chief apostle. Our ministry points to Jesus. Show me Christ the healer. Show me Christ the judge. Show me Jesus the deliverer. Show me Jesus the living word. Show me Christ the mediator. Show me Christ, the giver of gifts. And I know I'm going through this pretty quick. You listen to it again. It's on Facebook and YouTube. Show me Christ, the author and the finisher of my faith. Show me Christ, the redeemer. Show me Christ, the healer of my region. Show me Christ, the savior of my region. In order to do this, we have to have a relationship with Holy Spirit. I say you got to have a relationship with Holy Spirit. Because he's the one that shows you. You've got to just become so familiar with the Holy Spirit and so familiar with the Spirit of God, because he is our helper and our teacher, and he's our comforter, and he's the Spirit of the living God. So we have to work, amen, on watching his movements. You know, Holy Spirit has a movement, has a way he moves. You can have a room full of church people on a Sunday morning, they don't know his moves. Amen. I know worship going on, but the message should be starting in about 22 minutes. And yes, I'm waiting for the message. I sure need a word. Holy Spirit moving all over the room. Jesus walking right past you. Ask God, Holy Spirit, I want to get so close. I want to see your movement. I want to see your movement. I want to see, Holy Spirit, how you honor Christ. I want to feel your wind, which is your inspiration. I want to sense your fire, which is purification. I want to watch for water. When I sense that when we went into refreshing, there was a release of water. The washing. Watch his oil. With his oil, the mantles and the graces. If you at a church that ain't got no anointing, ain't got no grace, ain't got no power, you need to get on up out of there. Because where the Holy Spirit is, there's anointing. There's power. Spend my life in a dead church. I'd rather be at the white party. Y'all, okay, y'all so say y'all know about no white parties. You connect with Holy Spirit through the reading the Word of God, through praise, through worship, through meditation on the Word of God. Amen. If you do it privately, you'll impact the service corporately. But if this is your only experience with God, then you're very shallow with revelation. That was number one. Number two, that was Jesus Christ to us. Now, the second revelation you must know is Christ in us. Say, Christ in me. You got to know Christ in you. How does Christ? You need a revelation of what it means to have Jesus in me. That's major. I said, that's major. That's important. I don't want to just talk the talk. Amen. God, give me a revelation what it means to have Christ in me. Christ taking his abode in me. Galatians 2 and 20 says, it is Christ who lives in me. Man, that's a great daily confession. Jesus, I thank you for today. Today you live in me. You flow through me. I am crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live. It is no longer I who live. It is no longer I who live. But it is Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. The faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Life I live is about Jesus. You get a revelation of that, man. You can set some of the things aside. Amen. You can set your agenda aside. You can say, Father, I live by faith in you. I want your agenda, your way, your thoughts, your patterns in my life. Let me hurry up here. Christ is being formed in me. I want a revelation of what it looks like, Lord, for you to be formed in me, shaped in me. Amen. For me to be formed in the image of Christ. It's Galatians 4:19. Jesus makes his home in my heart. I want a revelation of that. Ephesians 3:17. Colossians 1:27. Christ in me, he is in me, the hope of glory. The glory the world needs to see is Christ in me. Anything else makes God abstract, makes Jesus an abstract, makes him theoretical. But when people can see Jesus in you, the healer, the deliverer, it makes Christ real. He is the hope of glory. Somebody say, he is the hope of glory. Second Corinthians 3:2. I'm a living epistle. I'm a witness of his goodness. I'm a visual example. I'm a visual example of his deliverance. That's why you got to tell your story. Doesn't matter how ratchet it is. Amen. When Jesus has delivered you, tell your ratchet story. Come on, tell somebody. Tell your ratchet story.
People are like, I don't have a ratchet story. I don't have a ratchet story. I've been saved all my life.
Because when you do that, what do? You display, amen, you got a revelation of Jesus and you display it. And people can say, wow, yeah, I do remember when you was lying and stealing. And I remember we used to rob the party stores. I remember we was out there slinging. Christ in us. That's the second revelation we must have. Show Christ to us, show Christ in us. The third one is the authority of a believer. You need to know your right and your might. You got to have a revelation of the authority, your authority in Christ, your power to exercise the word of God. Your power and authority in faith. You got to know that. The right and the might. You got to know that you have power over the enemy. And you don't have to suffer everything that comes your way. Because you have authority. You've been authorized and you have the power to carry it out. You have a right to speak to your circumstances. Mark 11:23. I can speak to the mountain. I can speak to the barriers in my life. I'm not a victim. I don't have to be a victim. But I can speak to the circumstances that come against my life. My faith that overcomes the world is the victory that overcomes the world. It's my faith. 1 John 5:4. I can ask and it shall be given. I can seek and find. I can knock and the door be open. You got to know your authority as a believer. Number four, you have to have a revelation of the ecclesia. Why are we here? Why are we gathered here? Why is it important to be here? A lot of people have dismissed that. They say, I could just flip on, and there's nothing wrong, thank God, for the connected community. Amen. But there's nothing like being here. Why is the gathering important? Why is the assembly of people together? Why should I not be so frivolous with coming together? I need a revelation of the ecclesia. I need a revelation of the gathering, the assembly. I need to understand that when we come together as a people, as a community, we form a family, but we also turn into an army. I need to realize that we're God's legislative body in the earth. And together we enact the laws of God on the earth. Two or three are together, we touch and agree. We can turn the tide. And don't mobilize us beyond these four walls. We come together for vision. We come together, amen, for mission. We come together to be sent out. The role of the fivefold ministry is to prepare the people for service. We're to create heaven on earth. We've had individual redemption, but as a local body, we're called to create regional redemption. Let me quickly give you an example of that. We've been meeting and talking about literacy. Literacy in our region, our territory. How a lot of young people in the Detroit area, amen, how they can't read. Reading, not being able to read, amen, causes your income level to be down, causes your self-esteem, amen, to be impacted. We have a real literacy problem in our region. Well, God not only wants to redeem you as an individual, he wants through the ecclesia to redeem the region. We got to have a vision beyond ourselves. Not just believe for cars and furs and all that kind of stuff. Amen. We got to believe for our region. So if we are a church located here, what are we doing to bring redemption to the region? So we're putting together, trying to collaborate with some schools, how we can help the children of our region improve their literacy. And while we improve their literacy, we can introduce them to reading the Word of God. Amen. Redemption. And some people have passions for about poverty or single family led homes or whatever it is. Amen. God wants not only to use you and redeem you, he wants you to redeem your region, your family. Somebody say regional redemption. Jesus didn't just come. Jesus said, let me just get one or two people. Jesus came into them towns, man, and he changed them. Amen. He went, amen. And then he imparted to his apostles. His apostles went out, started changing. They were crucified by the Romans. Amen. Hung upside down, crucified upside down, beheaded, put in the Colosseums. Amen. And killed. And you know what? In Rome right now, there's over 900 churches. And they're not just all Catholic. In Greece, we went to Greece, amen, there's churches where they built in the mountains, amen, and they to hide from persecution, but you couldn't stop the church because they had a revelation of their mission. And some of the apostles were so bold, they said, listen here, don't even crucify me upright, amen, crucify me upside down. I don't deserve, amen, to be crucified like Jesus, because they had a revelation of the importance of regional redemption. Acts 1 and 8, Jesus said, power come upon you. You will see power after the Holy Spirit come on you, and you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to change Jerusalem. We cannot be satisfied, and this is going to be a focus in 2024. We cannot be satisfied with coming here on a Sunday and not changing our region. We got to recognize Jesus in our region. Now I'm going to go with the last one. I'm going to close. There's so much more. We'll just continue with this next Sunday. The fifth one, how everything comes together. How does this showing Jesus to us, showing Jesus in us, showing authority to us, how does that all come together? How does that come together? And that's really a kind of a trick question, because it's not how. Because once you get a revelation of Jesus and you see Jesus and you see Jesus in you and then you see your authority as a believer and you see the purpose of the church, it's not how, it's who. It becomes, because you'll begin to see the harvest like Jesus sees it. And you'd be like, man, there are so many needs out here. How can we meet these needs? It's about the harvesters. It's about the who. It's about how can I build a team. It's about how can we come together as believers and tackle this issue, because I've got the revelation of Jesus. I see Jesus on the inside of me. I see Jesus the healer. Amen. And I got a revelation on healing. How can I bring healing to all these people who are sick? You're not searching for how, because the revelations have already paved the way. You're praying for harvesters. Yes. You're building teams. Like Sister Carol, all we had to do, we tell Sister Carol, take the ladies, we want you to lead the women's department. Amen. We see that on your life. Amen. That's all we had to say. She already had a revelation of women's ministry. So she went to work. She hasn't stopped yet. First meeting was over 40 women. I believe it was over 40 women. She went to work. She was already functioning out a revelation of Jesus, what he can do in the lives of women. Amen. It's not how you get the revelation of Christ laid in your life. It's the who. It's the who. Who can join me in this? Amen. I want to deal with broken families. I want to deal with trauma in the church. I want to deal, amen, I want to deal with this. I got a revelation on this, man, and it's been burning in me, and I see it everywhere I go. You know, it's your irritation that's your ministry. You complain about it, but it's really your ministry. Your irritation is showing you the door. It's your frustration that's pointing out your ministry. That's why you see it. You just need a revelation of Jesus. You need to see Jesus in that irritation. How would Jesus deal with that irritation? You get that, you'll have the answer on how to bring resolution to it, how to bring redemption to it. Amen. I hate poverty. I hate poverty. Hey, amen. We got married. We broke. Focus, hope, all that. WIC. Food stamp. I remember we used to get the imitation crab meat on food stamp day. It was like three of those little things for a dollar. Okay, y'all don't know about that either. I have so much King Vitamin, I bind it from my house forever. Amen. Because we would get that King Vitamin cereal. It was like Captain Crunch, but it was to me, it was a poor man's Captain Crunch, because it didn't have the sugar. You had to provide your own sugar. Or you get three, I don't understand, anyway, I believe it. You get 3.5 boxes, because you don't get so many ounces. Amen. Anyway. That block cheese made great macaroni and cheese, though. Made great macaroni and cheese. I got so tired of it, we still qualified for it. I said, it's over. I said, we're done. I took us off. Well, I said, we're done. I said, we're going to live by faith. We're done. So what did that do? Now I hate poverty, because I know the burden of it. I know how it weighs on the minds and the hearts. It could be so distracting when you can't meet ends, make ends meet. When we had $5 and we had, I think in Detroit we had like three, maybe Stephen wasn't born yet. We had three kids. We take $5, buy fish sticks, macaroni, a box of macaroni, butter, and the cheese. Put the butter and then the cheese and stir it till it melts, the cheese melt. So distracting. I was saved, had the Spirit of God. I went to that Farmer Jack and I wrote me a check. I knew that check went no good. I knew that check went no good. I said, we're going to get some groceries today. I just lost it. That check never did come back. I'm not saying it's God, because I did wrong.
I did wrong.
But now, God has blessed me with a business for 28 years, and I've seen how God, how entrepreneurship and streams of income could break the ceiling off your life. And I've seen that when I worked two jobs at the bank and then doing holiday at the toy store working midnights so I could do something for the family, I've seen how God could bless his people, because there's nothing unique or special about me that's not in any of you. And how God could take and bless a business where you don't even have to work 40 hours a week and you still make good money. Where God can turn your life around where you're getting put out of the projects. This is my revelation. This is my passion. Where you get put out of the projects, where you can have multiple homes and streams of revenue. Passive income. So that's a passion of mine. It's a revelation of mine. It's not how, but it's who. How can we form a team to eradicate poverty? First in the mind, and then manifest it. Because what is revealed in the soul, in the spirit, manifests in the body. First, you got to break the spirit of poverty mindset. Eventually, it will manifest in the physical. You win the battle in the spirit, it manifests in the earth. What's your revelation? What's your revelation? What's your passion? What's your ministry? That's what God wants. He wants you to move out in that very thing. He's anointed you, called you, and that thing that you have a revelation to. And if you don't have a revelation and you're still trying to figure it out, then you walk with Holy Spirit and you say, Holy Spirit, show me Jesus the mediator. Show me Jesus the deliverer. And let me get a revelation of it that changes my life forever. Come on, let's stand. Ah. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Come on and just worship the Lord for a moment. Oh, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we want to see you, Lord. We want to recognize Jesus in our church, in our lives, in our devotion, in the marketplace, wherever we are. We want to recognize Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Give us revelation, Lord. Show us Jesus, the healer, the redeemer of our region, the redeemer of our territory, the redeemer of our family, the redeemer of our lives. Give us revelation. And Father, even in those areas of doubt, those areas of confusion, show us Christ, the way maker. Show us Christ in the name of Jesus. We draw close to you, Holy Spirit, to hear, to perceive, to see. We open our hearts for revelation. We don't want to stay at a level of just salvation and just basic, just the prayers, Lord, but we want our prayer life to grow. Our life in you to grow. Oh, and it comes through revelation. It changes our life. That's what you told Peter. You said that this is the bedrock. This is the foundation of my church, my ecclesia, the ability to see beyond the veil, the ability to see what others don't see, the ability to receive the truth, the aletheia, the ultimate reality of God. And it's that truth your reality that sets us free. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We release that, Lord. That spirit of revelation. Come on and receive it in the name of Jesus by faith. We release, Father, the spirit of revelation to even flow in greater dimensions, in greater strengths in our lives. Open our eyes, Father, that we can see with the right optics. Open our ears that we can hear. Open our discerning, Father, so that we sense and know your presence. Father, cause us to recognize the atmosphere and sense the movements of Holy Spirit, and to feel your presence in the church where we don't have to wait, Father, for certain segments, but we will recognize Jesus from the very beginning. Jesus, let us see you in the church. Let the church look like you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, in Jesus' name. I'm going to, just as you stay praying for us.
God bless you. I pray that you were blessed by today's message. Listen, we need a revelation of Jesus. We can't go on what someone said or what's been passed down. We can't even go on an old truth, because revelation is progressive. We go from glory to glory, knowledge to knowledge, understanding to understanding. And the foundation of revelation of Jesus Christ is accepting him as Lord and Savior. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord, you need to accept him. That is where it starts. The revelation of healing, deliverance, breakthrough, victory, follow are all part of salvation. So all you have to do if you want to know Jesus as Lord is say, Father, I thank you for sending your son. I receive Jesus as Lord of my life. I know he loves me. I know he accepts me. And when you've done that, your life is changed and you are on a road to revelation, on a road to breakthrough and blessing. For everyone else, I want you to grow in revelation. Let's not form an image of God, an image of Jesus that comes from our own mind, our own imagination. Allow Holy Spirit to reveal the Son to you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you and I bless you. And I give you praise, Father, for everyone that receives this word, everyone that's going to grow in revelation, everyone that's going to have a proper perspective and proper optics of who Jesus is. And they will take that truth and take that revelation and change the world around them. I prophesy growth. I prophesy revelation. I prophesy breakthrough in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Father, that we will never, ever be the same. We believe you for individual redemption. We believe you for regional redemption in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Listen, God bless you. I want you now to consider giving, being a blessing to this house. It is good ground that you're sowing into. The ways to give are on your screen. And just be a blessing. Sow as God has placed it on your heart. Amen. In proportion of what you have received today. Following giving, amen, we're going to have our announcements. And I want you to pay attention to those, because we have some exciting things coming up. The men's bowling outing and just various functions as we end this year. Consider being a part of the in-person service. Come, bring someone, and be a part of what God is doing. We have some tremendous things planned for 2024. God bless you. Have a tremendous day and a tremendous week in Jesus' name.